Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Mo H., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Walnut Creek, California. Today is Tuesday, January 9th. This is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. We are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page XXVIII in the Doctor's Opinion. The first paragraph begins with, "We believe and so suggested a few years ago," through one paragraph ending with, "Astonishingly difficult to solve." And the comments will be on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Tanya P., the 12 Traditions, Mary P., and the readers of the text for Shelley E. and Diane B. The share ID for Monday, yesterday, January the 8th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 21,015. That's 21015. And for this morning's meeting, Tuesday, January 9th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time, is 20,018. That's 21018. And our newcomer greeter is Carla C. And our announcements person is Robin P. Let's see. Our preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I will now ask Tanya P. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Tanya.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much for your service. This is Tanya P., recovered in Michigan. And here are the 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. I pass. Thank you for letting me do service.
Thank you, Tanya P., and I will now ask Mary P. to read the 12 traditions of OA. Good morning, Mary.
Thank you, Mo. This is Mary P. in Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me be of service this morning, and I'll pass.
And thank you very much, Mary P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute, and then once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and then press star 1 to mute your phone again. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we are on page XXVIII, the doctor's opinion, the first paragraph. We believe, and so suggested a few years ago, and through that one paragraph only, ending with astonishingly difficult to solve. And the comments will be on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Shelley E. to get us started. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. I'm so honored to get this paragraph. The Big Book, page XXVII, first paragraph. We believe, and so suggested a few years ago, that the action of alcohol on these chronic alcoholics is a manifestation of an allergy, that the phenomenon of craving is limited to this class and never occurs in the average temperate drinker. These allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all. And once having formed the habit and found they cannot break it, once having lost their self-confidence, their reliance upon things human, their problems pile up on them and become astonishingly difficult to solve. I'm honored to have gotten this paragraph. This paragraph was my very first day in OA, doctor's opinion to me. And if this is your first day and you are a newcomer, my experience is that this was a life changer for me. It told me that it wasn't a matter of me pushing away from the table. It wasn't a matter of me going to, a diet program. But I really had a problem. I had an allergy. Now, originally, I thought, allergy, I'm not sure about that, because what I knew from allergy certainly did not fit into an addict mind. But when you look at the concordance, my driver's done. When you look at the concordance, the definition for allergy is an abnormal physical response to a substance. When I read that, I thought, I certainly have that with food. I had tried everything, and I really thought it was just a weakness of mine. I couldn't understand why I couldn't get on top of it. I could lose weight. I'd lost a lot of weight several times, but I couldn't keep it off. Not only that, the brain fog and the constant confusion, it was just a constant battle for me every day. And like I said, when they first read this paragraph to me, things started to look a little clearer. And that's what made me want and thirst for the rest of this big book. Apparently my jar is really done. And anyways, I certainly fit into this category. Having formed the habit, I found I couldn't break it. I lost my self-confidence. I had been relying on things human, and the problems were piling up on me. And they were not only astonishingly difficult to solve, but impossible to solve. So if you're a newcomer, fasten your seatbelt. It's going to be a wonderful ride. And it's not easy, but you can get there. This big book will take you there, and it will put your hand in God's hand or higher power's hand, whatever you choose to call it. And with that, the two of you together can get to a very good, healthy recovery. With that, I'll pass, and I look forward to hearing everybody's shares.
Well, thank you very much, Shelley E., and let me remind everybody where we're at. We are on page XXVIII, and we are, let me see, where do I have that? I can't find it. Anyway, first paragraph, and it begins with, we believe, so suggested, and it ends with, become astonishingly difficult to solve our problem, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, give me your name.
Chanel T.
Chanel T. Thanks, Chanel.
Michelle F.
Michelle, was that an F as in Frank?
F as in Foxtrot.
Okay, Foxtrot, I'll take it.
Sandy F.
Sandy F.
Joan Marie M.
Joan Marie M.
Danielle W.
Danielle W. You're being very good to me this morning. I have down Chanel T, Michelle F, Sandy F, Joan Marie M, Danielle W. Anyone else want to get in this lineup?
Mo H, this is Melanie C. I just wanted to say real quick that Danielle W is having quite a bit of static on her line. If she wants to hang up and dial back in, that might correct that situation.
Okay, thank you. Danielle, if you would do that, please, for us, I appreciate that. All right, well, let's close it out with that. Chanel, first,
hi.
Followed by Michelle F. Good morning, Chanel.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you for your service, as always, and everyone else doing service. This is Chanel T. in Washington State, outside walking in a little bit windy weather, and happy to be on here with you. So this paragraph is a perfect example of how the doctor's opinion in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous, oh, by the way, I am a recovered compulsive eater, and I'm grateful to be here. This chapter, and in particular, a paragraph like this one, saves my life every single day. How? Because I thought it was just me. I thought I was different. And I was dying in my difference. I was absolutely sure that I was unique. And other people couldn't understand me. Certainly my family couldn't. What was wrong with me? It must be moral. It must be that I'm just wrong in the head. Well, as a matter of fact, a lot of it does center in my mind, absolutely. However, knowing that this allergy exists, which I never knew, I never heard anywhere else. In fact, I didn't even hear it in mainstream rooms of OA, but that's another topic for another time. Knowing that it's not really my fault, I have choices to make, but not about an allergy. I'm very allergic to latex. In fact, I tease doctors if there's some kind of a, or nurses and an anesthesiologist, if I have to have something done. And I say, unless you want to play around with a crash cart, please don't use latex with me. It's very severe. It's not going to go away, and I have no choice in it. And it's the same with this. It's severe. In fact, it progresses over my lifetime, but it's not my fault. And the good news is this whole book was written to show me that there's hope for recovery, not a cure, but recovery, a daily reprieve. But I can't put those allergic things into my system. Just like an alcoholic can't expect to be in recovery if he, she, they puts alcohol in any form in their system. It's the same for me. I just, gosh, I have so much to say on this, but I want to hear other people's shares. So with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chanel T. Up next is Michelle F., followed by Sandy F. Good morning, Michelle.
Good morning, Mo. It's Michelle F. as in Foxtrot in Massachusetts, a compulsive overeater and food addict. Well, problems become amazingly, astonishingly, I forget how it's worded, hard to solve. Yes. Why? Because I'm in my cups. I didn't come in to OA on a winning streak. And, you know, it wasn't just the eating that was out of hand. I had two small children that I wasn't interacting with. I was depressed. My marriage was bad. I was trying all these other 12-step programs, which did their purpose because it woke me up to see that I had a problem with food, which got me to OA. Money was bad. Everything. I bought so many Christmas presents that Christmas that my kids got tired of opening Christmas presents, if that'll give you an idea. And I absolutely believe in the allergy. Why? Because it has progressed in me. I went to an allergist to get checked, and now I have an EpiPen, I have an inhaler, and I'm allergic to tree nuts, peanuts, mint, and strawberries. I had no earthly idea before that. And what did I binge a lot on during my youth and early adulthood years? Things flavored with mint. You know, the Girl Scout kind, the creamy, cold kind. And lo and behold, they cause an abnormal reaction in my body. So literally and figuratively, I am allergic to those things. And I found with that's true with sugar, too. Artificial sweeteners, just my body's not full. They say it's sweet. And, you know, I've lost control and eaten a whole box of thing with Splenda in it. So I can't use sweet in any form. And white flour. And just what's great about putting down your alcoholic ingredients is you get a better sense of your body and you feel healthier. And I've put down foods not because I have trouble with them, but because I don't feel well after eating them. And I would never have made that connection if I hadn't been in OA. And I feel a lot better. I get sick a lot less. Lo and behold, look, I turned over my food problem. I'm turning over my other problems. My marriage got better. I still struggle with parenting, but my kids are still wanting to say I love you and hang out with me, and they're teenagers and early 20s, so I couldn't have been that bad. And it's not to say that my life is always hunky-dory. It's not. But it's so much easier without being drunk on the food or hungover from the food. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Michelle F. Sandy F., followed by Joan Marie M. Good morning, Sandy.
Hi, I'm Sandy F., like friend from Las Vegas. And I just realized something as you were reading, and that is that a part of me has been fooling myself, thinking, well, I could just, like other allergies, I could just use the OA steps and then it will go away, and then I can retrain my mind not to obsess on certain foods, and then I could probably have them okay. I'm revealing how long I've been in OA, and it hasn't been very long. I'm very familiar with steps from another program, and like a lady before me shared, other programs revealed more to me, and that I was progressively getting worse and worse with food, and I came to OA. And now I'm learning to spot and admit my wrongs, and I don't want to lie to myself, because that's the number one tool of the disease of the compulsive overeater, as well as other behaviors. Just wanted to share, and I'm really grateful for Vision for You and for the fellows in the program. Thank you, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Sandy F. Up next is Joan Marie M., followed by Danielle W., and after Danielle, I'll take another lineup of names. Good morning, Joan Marie.
Good morning, Mo. Good morning to everyone that's on the line. This paragraph, okay, first of all, I'm Joan Marie M. from Nevada, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. When I say recovered, I have been placed in a place of neutrality around food. It doesn't call to me anymore, and I was a chronic compulsive overeater. That's a miracle. So that was the first thing that stuck out to me, chronic alcoholic, chronic compulsive overeater. I couldn't. It manifested in an allergy. People have already described what that is, an abnormal reaction. My body cannot handle it. Then the phenomenal certain foods, so the phenomenal of craving manifests itself in my body. And how does it? Once I ingest, like the alcoholic, pick up that first drink, I can't stop. I cannot stop eating that. And a normal, average eater, they can do that. They can overindulge in something through the holidays or whatever. And then they just say, okay, I've had enough. I put on a few pounds and I'm going to stop. That doesn't work for me. I cannot stop. Once that formed habit took place, it could not be broken. No human power on this earth could do that. Only a power greater than myself, and I choose to call God, can take that. And I had to surrender that. I had to be willing to put it down. I had to be honest about it, that I cannot, my body, tolerate sugar form in any form at all. And, you know, when I went out the last time, it was from diet sodas. And then before that, chewing gum, sugar-free. Oh, yeah, my body doesn't know the difference. So with that, I'm so grateful. Every day I learn more and more as God reveals more. And this program is phenomenal. It works. That's the key. It works if we work it. Thanks for letting me share. God bless everyone.
Thank you very much, Joan Marie. And before I take Danielle W., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page XXVIII. The first paragraph, and it begins with, we believe and so suggested a few years ago, and it ends with, becomes astonishingly difficult to solve. And although we value your, well, I'll take Danielle W. first. Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. Thank you. Danielle W. from Southern California, recovered but not cured, and very happy to be here. This paragraph, it shifted everything for me. You know, for decades, I thought that my weight problem and my health problems and my life problems were an intellectual pursuit. I really thought that if I was smart enough, if I read the right book, if I analyzed what I was eating, properly, you know, I would find this key, this magic key, and the problems would be over. And I just remember sitting in a lecture. It was being given at a conference, and it was actually, the room was full of every kind of addict. It wasn't just for compulsive overeaters, but they did start talking about food allergy, and it was a light bulb moment for me. I understood. And for me, I've always had allergies. I've always had allergies to foods. And the reaction for me is very quick. I start to have a rash. I start to itch. I might have trouble breathing. So I've always understood that I can put something into my system and I can have a reaction that other people don't have. But I never made the connection to the compulsive overeating, the component. And when I understood that it was an allergy, things really started to change. I realized it didn't matter how smart I was or how many books I read or how many diets I tried or how many doctors I talked to, that something was going to happen when I put food into my system. And it's helped me in a number of ways. One of the ways that it's helped me, and this has taken years to get really honest about, I know what foods I am allergic to now because I can feel it in my system. If I eat even a yellow light food that we call it, things happen. The food starts to call to me. The food starts to get loud for me. I stop feeling the normal sensation of hunger, and I can feel the want. I lose focus on other things, and I start thinking about that food. And so it's easier for me now when I tap into my body and I feel it. I know this is not a food that can be part of my life. I cannot consume this food in any amount because I'm allergic to it. And, you know, I always understood, I happen to have a lot of alcoholics in my life, and I always understood this idea. They can't take one sip, not one. And I finally embraced that in my own life. I can't have one bite, not one, not one. And the interesting thing now is I didn't think that was going to be, I just didn't think life was going to be joyful without all of these things. And I don't even think about it anymore. I don't even want it. I just went through the entire holiday season. I was so happy that people were enjoying what they were enjoying, but it wasn't part of who I am or what I do or how I eat. And that's the magic of this program. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Have a great day. Thanks.
Thank you, Danielle W. Just remind you where we're at. We're on page XXXXVIII, first paragraph, we believe and so suggested, and it ends with become astonishingly difficult to solve. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day so that others might share their experience too. So, if you haven't shared in the last 3 days, I'll take your names.
Robin P. in Costa Rica.
Robin P.
Jordan L.
Jordan and Larry. Got you, Larry.
Shanna C. Tennessee.
Shanna. Okay, got you. D. Larry. Okay. We have Robin P., Jordan L., Larry G., Shanna C. Anyone else in this lineup? Okay. Everyone mute except Robin P. Good morning, Robin. Robin?
Thanks. I assume someone had some background noise going on.
Yeah, somebody's washing dishes or something, yeah. Please mute. Okay. Go ahead, Robin.
Thank you. Thanks, Mo. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very, very grateful recovered compulsive overeater and in Costa Rica. And, you know, I'm so grateful because I totally understand this paragraph. I've lived this paragraph. And, you know, food used to be my poison, and I couldn't figure out why I couldn't control it and why this time it would be different. And then as soon as, like, I heard, oh, go eat, I had no
I had no willpower, and I thought it was all about willpower. And I'm so grateful to know that this is a God program, that this is a God recovery, and that I need to reach up and reach out every day, and that I have an allergy, a physical allergy to certain substances. And my food's my medicine. I'm a gluten-free organic vegan, and that's what works for me today, one day at a time. And my food literally feels like it's nourishing my body. And I'm so grateful because food used to make me feel horrible, and now it makes me feel well. And I get to live my life instead of living to eat. I get to eat to live, and it's a whole different mindset. I just celebrated 8 years of abstinence. I'm so grateful. I was such a low bottom. I had lived day to day. Some days I would just be in the food the entire day. And I was very low bottom, bulimic, anorexic, compulsive overeater, the whole thing. And it's a miracle from God to have one day at a time. It's the last thing on my mind to hurt myself with food, thank God. I've been restored to sanity. And part of that is because I don't, you know, eat things that I know are poison to me. I'm really grateful for all of you. I'm so grateful for Vision, and I pass.
Thank you very much, Robin P. Up next is, let me see, who do we have after Robin P? We have Jordan L. Good morning, Jordan L.
Hey, good morning, Mo. Thanks for moderating for us this morning. My name's Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Newcastle, Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. very grateful for the compulsive overeaters that came before me and shared their experience and showed me this path, because there's no way in hell I would have found it without them. so a manifestation of an allergy. I won't claim to know like what the doctor meant when he wrote that, right? But what I know about this allergy from both the perspective of an alcoholic and a compulsive overeater, because I am both, is that it's a physiological thing. It occurs in my body, and it's not about any sort of mental state or any sort of thinking or anything along those lines. Like when a certain substance goes into my body, I have a physiological reaction to it. And that occurred with alcohol for me as an alcoholic. And it also occurs with my alcoholic foods for me as a compulsive overeater. And I say this a lot. I say this a lot in in-person Overeaters Anonymous meetings. It's really important that each individual understands what their alcoholic foods are, the foods that create that reaction within their own body. Because there is some variation across this fellowship. There are compulsive overeaters that are able to eat things that I am not able to because they're an alcoholic food for me, and vice versa. So it's very, very important that we dive down into our own food history and get an understanding of which alcoholic foods create that allergy for us. and I know a lot of people have been talking about that this morning. I'm glad that we're getting really clear on that. But the second half of this paragraph is really about unmanageability. These allergic types can never safely use alcohol in any form at all, once having formed the habit and found they cannot break it. That's pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. I want to stop consuming these foods. I want to stop compulsively overeating and find I cannot. There's a behavioral component to this that doesn't really exist with the alcoholic. The alcoholic stops drinking alcohol. They don't have trouble drinking other substances. They drink other substances normally, whereas my experience as a compulsive overeater is that when I stop consuming my alcoholic foods, there's a behavioral component. There's an eating component there that I have to address. So I'm very grateful for this fellowship and this meeting and that I can address it with all y'all. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Jordan L. Next is Larry G., followed by Shanna C., and after Shanna, I can take more names. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Mo. This is Larry G. from Northern California. I'm so grateful to be on this call this morning. This doctor's opinion was like the secret weapon when I got in the vision for you. It was like the game changer. And it's not that I never read it before, but I had a OA sponsor for the first time that was grounded in the big book and the doctor's opinion, and that's where we start. And the very first meeting, I sent her an OA workbook that I wanted to do the steps through, and she asked me also to put together my alcoholic food list. So when I came to the meeting, our first meeting, she said, we're not going to be using the workbook. We're going to start with the doctor's opinion and go all the way through a vision for you. And I shared with her my yellow light food list, which is just a joke. I'm also an Alcoholics Anonymous, and I don't have a yellow light food beverage list. I don't have, I'm not recovering from just drinking bourbon, but yet I have light beer on my yellow light food list. As an alcoholic, I don't drink any alcohol in any form. I don't use bourbon in my barbecue sauce. I don't eat chocolate cork candy or rum cake at Christmas. But yet I had this yellow light food list for 20 years, and it was just a joke, which is part of, I think, the mental illness that we all suffer from. We can't differentiate the truth from the false. So what I learned was the doctor is giving us the first half of our problem. The second half is coming up later. And like I said, I read this many times in OA. We had many meetings where we read out of the big book, but it was convenient for me. I wasn't ready to take this message in and to practice it in my affairs. It was convenient to have the yellow light food list. It was convenient to talk in meetings about how my week was going, and my food got a little sloppy, but I'm back. I have a fresh start here. I had one of my alcoholic foods, but I'm back, and I'm abstinent. It was convenient for me until it was no longer convenient, until that way of thinking, which is the second part of the doctor's laying out the problem, my thinking, was that it was so warped and it was so out of reality. Again, as an alcoholic, I wouldn't have today. You could not waterboard me and get a beer down me, a light beer or even a near beer. But yet I was throwing my absence on a bus every time prior to coming to the vision for one of those yellow light foods. What a joke. So today I am entirely abstinent. It hasn't been easy at times, but I have fully surrendered to the doctor's opinion. When I read this through the eyes of a compulsive eater, it was as if it was written for me. And today I embrace the doctor's opinion. I embrace the problem that I have an allergy and I have an abnormal brain, and we'll learn more about that later on. So I pass it back to you, Mo. Thank you.
Hey, thank you very much, Larry G. And before I take Shanna C., let me remind everybody where we're at. We're on page XVIII in the doctor's opinion. The first paragraph, we believe and so suggested, and it ends with become astonishingly difficult to solve. And after Shanna, I can take a few more names. Good morning, Shanna.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you so much. This is Shanna C. from Tennessee, Grateful Recovered Compulsive Overeater. Through God's grace and mercy, and I can't even begin to tell you, the longer I listen to people talk, the more I realize just how powerless I am over food, my thinking, and it's just truly a miracle that I'm able to go from one meal to the next, relying on the God of my understanding and being given power to abstain from those alcoholic foods that are my own, and have the willingness to help someone else to get out of stuff. Because constant thought of others and how I may help meet their needs, and my very life depends on that, and I can't do that without God's help. I'm just hell bent for thinking of me and self-reliance. But I can't really add any more to everyone's you know, experience or whatever, well, most people's experience about the physical allergy to their alcoholic foods, I have that allergy. You know, I can't even, I mean, yeah, I belong. I drink or eat food like an alcoholic drinks. That allergy's triggered, I can't stop. And if it's not, you know, I may not eat an entire box or bag or whatever at that moment, but I may stop at 10 of those, but then move to something else similar and eat 10 of those. And then, oh, I didn't eat all of that, you know, that kind of thing, that obsession. But one of the things that my sponsor, once I got to that, to the end of myself, and I tried absolutely everything, and I do mean everything, I'd gone, you know, to OA and had a sponsor with no food plan and did it that way. And then I had sponsors with a food plan and all of this stuff. And one of the things that this time around, I believe I was given because I was so desperate, was the sponsor had said to me, you know, ask God every morning to keep you sober, abstinent, and sane, and for the willingness and the ability to stick with the food plan. And I've done that ever since. And another thing was, she reminded me that the food plan is not going to keep me sober, even though it's necessary, or the food plan is not going to keep me abstinent. It's the reliance upon the power greater than myself through working the steps and gaining access to power that's going to enable me to stick with the food plan. The food plan for me is more of a barometer. It's like a gauge. You know, when I start kind of veering from one side to the other, I need to check my spiritual condition because my mind's starting to mess with me. I'm so grateful for this design for living. One day at a time, that I get to go to God and say, you know what, God, I want to eat right now. I am left to my own devices. I will. Please help. What's the next right thing? You know, normally it's a 10th step. Normally it's getting away from that food item or whatever it is, taking a look at it. Do I need to give it up? You know, whatever. And I'm admitting that. Yeah, yeah, sure. And then turning my thoughts to someone I can help a day at a time. Anyway, it works for me. I'm so glad that it does. And thankful that I don't have to overcomplicate this thing. All right. Y'all have a wonderful day. I appreciate you so much, Mom.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Shanna C. And although we value your experience, we ask you to limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So I can take two more names.
Dion R. Deb E. in Israel.
Okay, Deb E. in Israel. That's it. I believe it. It's it. All right. So, Dion R., go ahead, followed by Debbie.
Good morning, Mo, and everyone on the line. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of this solution today. And thank everyone who's here before me. I really got a lot from it. I was just going to listen, but I know how my higher power says when it's time to speak, speak. And I agree with so many in how the allergy, that's what gave me the validation that it's okay. I could live in this world and say I'm a compulsive overeater as well, or I have an eating addiction. I can do that and make it and not feel less than. And it says these allergic types can never safely use my bench food in any form at all. Once having formed the habit and found I could not break it, to me that was a mind thing. What does that have to do with it? It's like I can't break it. I know it's gonna harm me, but it's Easter. Well, it's Sunday. Well, it's raining. Well. That is a mental thing. It's a mental torture. It was like, I do have a mental problem because to me it's mental, physical, oh my God, and definitely spiritual, all those in one. But until I can grasp hold of that, yes, I have a mental illness when it comes to staying away from that food. I think they called and described it earlier as the phenomenon of craving. I know good and well it's going to get me fat clothes, breaking chairs, whatever, feeling bad about myself, but I'm still going to do it anyway? Sound like you got a mental problem, Dion. But today I know who I am, and I know there's thousands, and if not million people like me that can admit this defeat, because once we admit it, for me, it's like it takes the power away. I would not go in a room if they said, oh, readers are not outside the room. I just felt embarrassed. Today, I don't care. It saved my life because I know who I am. I just have an allergy, and it's mental, physical, and spiritual for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for allowing me to to be a part of the process, and that I could be honest where I am today with my feelings. And I'm not feeling good, but I'm still here, and I'm asking. I did eat over it. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you, Dion R. And E, you're up next. Good morning.
Hi, thanks, Mo. This is Debbie, recovery compulsive overeater in Israel. Just to be able to be on live, it's been a challenge lately to get on the meeting at this hour. I don't know, I was looking for the paragraph. I could not find it, but I'm just going to share on what I've heard, and it was making me think of step one, and I had so much resistance to the word powerless in the beginning, like, because I was really offended by it. My ego was really offended by it. Like, I'm like, I'm not powerless. I clearly have control over a lot of things. And that was a big part of the problem, right? That I wanted to have control over so much. But what finally clicked for me was when I understood that it's exactly what they explain in the doctor's opinion. I become powerless when I consume my binge foods. If I'm not consuming my binge foods, I'm not out of control and powerless. That's what I live like day to day. I'm able to eat other food that's not my binge foods. But if I dare pick up one of my binge foods, I lose every bit of choice and every bit of power. And then it just, you know, I remember how it was. It's just, I just had to wait till the binge ran its course. And it could be a day, it could be days, it could be, you know, by the time I came to Overeaters Anonymous, it was completely out of control. And every day there was no respite between binges. And so I really like this reminder that I get that daily reprieve if I refrain from touching those binges and I continue to cultivate this spiritual life and spiritual practice and connection with my higher power. I have to maintain that on a daily basis. And it's, you know, I really don't think I would do all this if I didn't have to. You know, I don't think I'm that, like, enlightened person that I would actually pray and meditate and journal every day and talk to other people. I don't think I would do it. I think I'd still be in that, like, oh, I should do those things, you know? And so I'm really grateful to have this, like, incentive that motivates me to live my life that way, because it's such a better life. And I think it's a life that I would, that would interest me even if I didn't have to live this way, even if I didn't have this disease. I think I'm the type of person who'd be like, oh, it'd probably be so good to meditate every day and pray every day. And it's thanks to this addiction that I have that practice. And so I like to look at that too and just be grateful for the push it gives me for a better life, you know, and to look at it that way. And with that, I will pass. Thanks so much.
Perfect timing. Thank you very much, Debbie E. And thank you everyone who gave service to this meeting and also shared on the meeting. I really appreciate it. We all do. And so we will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I will ask Diane B. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning, Mo. Thank you, everyone, for your service. This is Diane B., gratefully recovered in New York. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.